Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Etheria Parenting on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Tammy Joyner. I am your host for the show. Today, our topic and our subject matter for the show is social etiquette. But we wanted to start by telling you that we're in an atrium on 54th Street, and it is called the Atrium. That is the name of the place that is publicly accessible from 7 to midnight to commuters, pedestrians, residents, tourists. It's called the Atrium. It's shops and cafes. There's a Barnes & Noble's fitness store, and a load of other eateries that you can take part in. It's really important today that we talk to you about this location because there's a great ambiance here. It's very quiet, even though it's during the lunchtime special. There are a lot of people going in and out of the subway as well. It still has an awesome or cool, inviting, tranquil, calming type atmosphere. So as soon as you walk in one of the buildings, come down the staircase, there's an awesome waterfall, and we probably will feature that on our Facebook page at Etheria Parenting on Blog Talk Radio at Facebook. And we're going to put the picture there of the waterfall. It's like stairs, and the water's flowing down the staircase, and then there are two monuments there, you know, rectangular rocks, and then they have like just water flowing over it. It's a very cool introduction to the place because, you know, that cool calm of the water. It seems like it's indoors, you know, with the climate. So they have a kind of climate control thing going on with that. So it's really nice. And then after you do that, you walk right into a gallery. And so the gallery is called Uprise Art. So if you wanted to check that out, it's www.upriseart.com. That's UPRISEART.com. And you'll find information about Lynn Welch. So it's Erin Lynn Welch, and there's a flower showcase, and it's Wildflowers by Night, and it says Wild for Night, and these particular canvases are available, I guess, for sale, and so you can find out what a price would be. They have a nice theme going here. It's like a bioluminous type flower arrangement, and it looks like you're walking through a pellet garden and at night, and so it's very nocturnal, and it's a little lunar, but at the same time, it's engaged with violets and blues, and, you know, it's just, like, really sweet, and it seems like a perfect pitch for any type of evening-type gala or social event, and this is such a beautiful arrangement. And then they have another one, and it's called the Big Black and Blue, which is a baby blue inspiration with like, you know, repetitive strokes, and it's just like a bloom in the middle, and then it goes outward, and it's like two giant-sized canvases, and I think it's called 48 by 96 inch. So this is a wonderful collection. You know, it's two pieces, two canvases, and it works together, one flower. So you have, you know, a multiple canvas, two canvases, and you can kind of arrange them any kind of way. They have them side by side, so the flower makes one flower, but it can easily, you know, be conveyed as a, you know, two arrangements to put one on each side of the room opposed to together as one flower. So that's really unique in value. And then they have another one, it's called I Feel It All. And this is like a cantaloupe type color that's the inspiration for the bloom in the middle. And then they have some greens and some other repetitive strokes. It seems very therapeutic. And the last canvas is a 66 by 66. Again, it's by UpriseArt.com, and it's called Strip Away the Masquerade. And this is dark. It's dark, and it's really black. You use a lot of black colors, and there's some bright yellows, canary-type yellow there. And, you know, it's full bloom. It's like, you know, kind of wiry in that. And, you know, even though the others was like beautiful hush and decorative, this is, you know, very calming, but it has, you know, another graphic element to it. So after you see, you know, take notice of the flowers, you go up down a few steps in this particular atrium, and we've been studying atriums for a while. A lot of them are full of plants, and they, you know, allow a plant tea. This one is another one that has, you know, a piano player during lunch hour. They have you know, multiple floors, and this is about seven stories, committed to the public for, you know, lunches, for eating, for music at lunchtime, you know, just a nice place for people to come in and have, you know, lunch, you know, in the shops. We today went into Cucina's Gourmet, and I got a cup of coffee, and well, it was actually tea, and I got a giant-sized oatmeal raisin cookie. So I didn't eat inside. Everything is gold and cream-colored in there, and it's really antique-y in that, and, you know, old-fashioned in that, and has this own ambiance where you can sit inside at a bar-type stool setting, but, you know, it's a bake shop. And so I had fun doing that. And so there's also a giant size, what do you call this? This is a art itself. It's something like a mural art, and it's some like modern design, and it's like multicolored and intertwined and intermingling and everything like that. So they have a giant like canvas type curtain going around too that's showcased in the blurbs as one of the major points here. So I've been into this particular Barnes & Noble that they have on the second level, and I went to their kiosk, and of course I looked up Starts in Our Heart inspirations to find that we are available in this particular kiosk, and that, you know, they do carry the book. And they also have artists featured here where you can come in on different days of the week, and you can go in and to book signings. So we have that. So we wanted to get on down because we have some updates from Diamond Garden Music in Tennessee, and we might as well go ahead and do that today. I found a letter from president of the company in my email today. I was very excited about it. They have some new music there called Tulsa, and it's a new song by Billy Davis, and that's going through the Midwest, they say, and I quote, like a tornado. And so if you wanted to hear it yourself, you can go to www.oldcountrysongs.com, and you can hear this particular version of T-U-L-S-A. So if you wanted to run that on a computer, you can do that as well. So they basically gave us an invite to do some more music, and they also told us that even though they're using the song, it's one of the most popular songs that they're pitching these days. And however, the major artist that they were, I guess, looking at did not record it yet. So they had information, like, you know, they're still pitching, but at this point it hasn't been, you know, a sale. So they had 2 years. We came in on the 50th celebration, and now it's the 52nd year of their celebration. And they asked us to do 2 years in their promo department, and we decided to do that. And they were pitching, and we also were at Reverb Nation pitching the song as well. And they had limited feedback. They seem like there's someone they're working on, but at the same time, there hasn't been a commitment. They're kind of telling me that in a few other letters that I posted on Lord Have Mercy on Me at Facebook. So if you wanted to read some of the information to find out, like, what, you know, we're dealing with there, you know, it was our first song that we did have recorded, and I was the songwriter on the song. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it just didn't come through now. So I wrote him an email back today, and I told him, I thank him so much for, you know, everything that he's done, but and I, you know, they can continue to do whatever, but we're going to go ahead and start to record the song maybe next year, because I wanted to re-record it. So I told him that message. I haven't heard back from him yet, but I'm sure he's going to get back to me. So we wanted to let you know that information, and also we wanted to let you know some other information. We've been doing small donations everywhere we go, even to McDonald's at the registers. They're asking for, you know, $1, $5, $10. They may ask you as well. Continue to donate if you feel it's necessary. But we've been doing that, and then we also did something with the New York Public Library. You buy a T-shirt, they pay a fraction of the cost, and then, you know, by you contributing to, you know, the purchase, then you, you know that you have, like, you know, helped in the donation and the funding. Well, so today our show is about etiquette, social etiquette. We've been going through some things, and we wanted to talk to you, you know, and your parents about social etiquette. Now, we went to www.wikipedia.com, and we researched social etiquette, and so it came up as etiquette. And we said, well, what is it? And it says, etiquette is a code of behavior that delineates expectations for social behavior according to contemporary conventional forms within a society, social class, or group. So we think morals and ethical codes beat the norms. So you can form codes a behavior better using morals and your ethics, because etiquette may have been a portion of, you know, the norm, but sometimes outside of, you know, what is normal, and sometimes inside of what is normal within a group or culture, you get outside of your own religious or cultural etiquette. So we wanted to make sure that you realize that something could be very normal for another culture. Like in Africa, going topless could be, you know, normal for some cultures, but in America, that's not going to work. Not even in New York, you know, that's not going to work. So we wanted you to make sure that every time someone says it's the norm, don't go for it. You know, you have to say, you know, it may be normal for you, but it's not necessarily normal for me. It may be a cultural norm for, you know, another country for a man to wear a skirt if he was Scottish, but that's not the norm for Americans. You know, there's a lot of norms, but in cultural, they're not always, you know, the norm for Americans. So rules of etiquette encompass most aspects of social interaction in any society. Though the term itself is not commonly used, a rule of etiquette may reflect an underlying ethical code, or it may reflect a person's fashion or status. Rules of etiquette are usually unwritten, but aspects of etiquette have been codified from time to time. So sometimes you can get a rule of ethic, and where are your ethics based? And sometimes you can say it's the American government, it's American law, it's a religious code, it's a norm within my school, it's a norm for our organization, a social group. You know, normally, you know, we do this or that. Normally we don't eat pork. That's, you know, a religious rule for some. Normally we're Southern Baptists. All we do is raise pigs in our own yard, and then we, you know, eat pork like daily for breakfast, even if it's just sausage. So, you know, depending on where you're coming from with your norms, you have to be careful that you worry about it a little stronger and define it according to some code of ethics or moral code that's a universal. So we have to get into that. And so it goes into courtesy at that point. Sometimes when we have differences, like what is not law breaking, what is law breaking, and what is like below the belt, what is outside of norms, and even though it's normal for a group of people, you know, a nude beach is norm at a new, you know, colony, but it's not normal at a public beach, you know. So I'm saying, if you know, if you decide to keep your clothes on, that's up to you. You know, don't say it's the norm here and you have to undress when you know you're making someone so uncomfortable. Decide for yourself. You know, parents have to decide, and we have to think about these issues early so that we don't go in without, you know, our understanding. And then children, teens, you have to decide too, so no one can catch you off and make you do something that you're going to regret. I hate regret. We shouldn't live, you know, regret. We should talk about everything. We should stop in the moment. We should ask questions now, and what is going to reflect on this later. What if your boyfriend gets you somewhere and said, maybe you should, you know, take off your clothes and let's just like go to the beach and do this new thing with the other people. Then everyone saw your body and they don't want to get back with you anymore, and you lose your friend because you showed everyone your goods. I mean, if you were going to be someone's wife, maybe that wasn't the way to go. You have to decide what do you want, and don't do what other people want you to do. Do what you know is right for you according to your own reputation, because that's probably why the person got with you anyway, if you wasn't the type that did everything the other girls that were a little, they want to say lose, you know, did everything that they did. So even if you lose your friend, you kept your understanding of yourself and you didn't go wild, and, you know, you were able to, you know, regroup. You know, sometimes after you do a lot of things, you don't even know how to regroup. So we wanted to go into courtesy. So courtesy and manners also play a role to display self-control and good intent for the purposes of being trusted in social interaction. Some people are going to show you courtesy, but you still shouldn't trust them outside of your own understanding and your own self-discipline. Okay? Courtesy manners help to minimize the benefits of group living in regulated social interactions. Here's a key point. Disease avoidance behavior can sometimes be compromised in the presence of courtesy and manners. Sometimes if someone didn't wash their hands after coming out of the bathroom, you might not want to shake. But if you decide to shake, then you're being courteous, and then you're, you know, opening yourself up for a disease possibly, or, you know, a germ transfer. You know, so maybe you should take precautions when you know it's not a healthy situation, and, you know, use precautions. And, you know, therefore, you know, you would wash your hands or tell that person to wash your hands, or you would refuse, like, to shake and say maybe, you know, another time. Take care of yourself. They might be taught in the same way as hygiene manners, but are likely to be learned through direct and indirect observing the interactions of others or imagined through the execution of brain function and social interactions. So basically, they here just said if you're trying to avoid the disease contact or if you're not going to put yourself in any type of danger, sometimes hygiene is taught before other things that's socially done. Because at home, we don't want you to compromise anything. At home, you're taught all of your mannerisms. You're taught all of your hygiene key points. When you get around other people, you may have to compromise if they don't give you the time in the bathroom, if they rush you for a schedule, if there's no bathroom facilities like in camping trips and stuff. You have to like have your quick kit or something that you use, you know, to take care of yourself. Other people will take your places sometimes and sacrifice, you know, things that you wouldn't sacrifice normally, take you out of your own codes, and then you don't know how to behave or interact or you did like others. And when you want to go back to another system, sometimes, you know, you've done things that they wouldn't necessarily want you to have done, and then they might not take you back. So we have to watch out for our hygiene and our interactions with others. So observe other people and decide if you want to do that. Imagine through your brain function to see if these are social interactions and hygiene and disease reactions that you want to, attain as your own. The learning of courtesy manners may take place at an older age than hygiene manners. You learn hygiene first. Because individuals must have at least some means of communication and some awareness of self and social positioning, the violation of courtesy manners most commonly results in social disapproval from peers. So at the end, even on Waikiki, they're going to tell you that if you do everything outside of your own nature, then you're sometimes going to get disapproval because they brought you to be the strong lead or an example or, you know, just another person. They do know how to interact with those people. So, you know, it's good to be who you are, stand as, you know, this example, and then, you know, you will know how to, you know, continue and proceed on with not only someone just was an onlooker or, you know, a visitor or a date, but you will also know how to, like, you know, interact with your own friends, family after any such occurrence. So culture norms simply demonstrate one identity within a specific social cultural group. Adherence to cultural norms and manners allow for the social cultural identities and the creation of boundaries which inform who is to be trusted or who is to be deemed other. Cultural norm and manners are learned through the interculturation and routine sensation of familiar and through exposure of otherness and those who are identified as foreign and different. So transgressions against the cultural norms and your own mannerism commonly result in alienation. So this was some form of, they had another, syntax there, and they had another word bank there. But basically they're saying the same thing. You know, cultural norms, you know, you have to be in and of that culture to deal with cultural norms. When you're from another, you know, subgroup or you're American but you're not from the South, you're American but you're not from the Midwest, you're American but you're not from the East Coast, you're American but you're not from New England states, you're American but you're not from Florida, you're American but you're not, you know, we're start going into, you're from that particular state, that particular region, you're from the shore, you're from New Jersey but you're from the shore points, you're from New Jersey but you're from northern ports, you're from New Jersey but you're from South Jersey, you know, you have to get into what are you doing in your culture there. So following your norms so we can identify ourselves and get representation, and we also can get allocations and any type of medication we may need for any situation. So that's our time for this show. Until next time.